believe in heartfelt religion? Would you think about that before you answer it? You don't have to answer out loud, but just think about that. We hear a lot in our society about heartfelt religion. A great deal of confusion and discussion regarding this particular topic. And a lot of people have the idea that Christians don't believe in heartfelt religion. Some believe the heart that's mentioned in the Bible is indeed the physical blood pump. Obviously, there are some passages that do mention the fleshly heart. 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 14. When dart was thrust through the heart of Absalom, and in 2 Kings 9 verse 24, arrow went into the heart of Jehoram, and so there are places where the physical blood pump is indeed mentioned, but most of the time when it talks about the heart, it's not talking about the physical blood pump, it's talking about our mind, our ability to think and to reason, our spiritual heart. And so, I want us to think about this particular topic for our study this morning. In Matthew chapter 22, there, verse 37, Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." He said this is the first great commandment. Obviously, he said the second likened to it, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." But love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. We're just a little bit less consider what the Bible heart really is. In Thayer's great dictionary, he defines the word heart as the center and seat of spiritual life, soul or man, as it is the foundation and seat of the thoughts, passion, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, endeavors. That's Thayer, page 325. We can learn what the Bible heart is by looking at some passages of Scripture that tell us what the heart does or of what the heart is composed. A number of passages of Scripture, we're not going to go and read all of these passages, but simply allude to them as we go through, and we'll have some more to say about them at the close of our study. Understand that the heart involves our intellect. In Matthew 9 verse 4, it talks about the heart having thoughts, thoughts and intents of the heart. So Jesus, knowing their thoughts there in Matthew 9 and verse 4, in Matthew 13 and verse 15, it talks about the heart being able to understand. They should understand with their heart. And be converted, I should heal them. In Mark 2, verse 8, it talks about the heart being able to reason. When he said, "Why reason you these things in your heart?" And so the heart can reason. And in Romans 10, at verse 10, Paul said, "With the heart, man believes unto righteousness." So the heart can believe. That involves the intellect of man. The heart's also composed of will. The heart can determine to do something. That's its will. In Exodus chapter 35, there at verse 5, when he talked about the willing heart, whosoever is of a willing heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, at verse 37, there it talks about the power of his own will and has so decreed it in his heart. that he will keep his virgin. His own will decreed it in his heart. His heart wills. It intends, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, talks about the thoughts and intents of the heart. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, in regard to our giving, it talks about what we purpose in our heart. And in Romans 6, 17, Paul said, we obey from the heart that form of doctrine. Obedience is from the heart. And so the heart obeys. The heart also has emotions. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16, it talks about Saul's daughter, Saul of David, and it says she despised him in her heart. David was leaping and dancing when the ark was being brought back, and Michael, his wife, saw him, and she despised him in her heart. In Romans 10 and verse 1, it talks about heart's desire. Paul said, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that might be saved. We also know in Matthew 22, verse 37, we just read, we can love with our whole heart, with all our heart. Proverbs 3, verse 5, we trust the Lord with all our heart. Trust is a function of the heart. John chapter 16, verse 6, it talks about sorrow having filled a heart. So the heart sorrows. In Acts 2, verse 26, it talks about the heart rejoicing. Therefore did my heart rejoice. These are functions of our heart. It is our mind, our ability to think, to reason, to know, and to understand. We also understand that the heart has a conscience. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, John says the heart can either condemn us or it can approve of that which we do. 1 John chapter 3, and verse 20 and 21. Listen to what John said about the heart. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. How does the heart condemn or not condemn us? Well, that's a function of our conscience. Conscience can condemn us or it can approve of what we do. But these are some of the functions of the heart that give us some insight into what the Bible heart really is all about. And with those thoughts in mind, I want us to look at some characteristics of the Bible heart. Some particular and peculiar characteristics of the Bible heart. In James chapter 1 and verse 26, it talks about the heart being deceived. If any man among you seem to be religious, violate not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. In Proverbs chapter 18, there is verse 12, he said, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Heart is haughty, lifted up with pride. Hebrews 4, verse 7, it talks about the heart being hardened. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, at so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, he talks about the heart being deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 5:23 talks about rebellious heart. This people have a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Hebrews 3 and verse 12 talks about a evil heart. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelieving departing from the living God. These are some particular and peculiar characteristics of the heart. He can be deceived. He can be prideful. It can be hard. It can be wicked and deceitful. It can be rebellious. It can be evil. But there's, as they say, there's a flip side to this coin. The heart can be true. Hebrews chapter 10, there, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We can have a true heart. We can also have a pure heart. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We can have a good and honest heart, Luke chapter 8, verse 15, in the parable of the sower. Jesus said, they that in a good and honest heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. That's the one on the good ground. That's the good and honest heart. So these are some particular characteristics of the heart. It can be bad. It can be evil. It can be good, pure. There's no in between. Either we have a good heart or we have a bad heart. So, an evil, rebellious, wicked, deceitful, hard, haughty, and deceived heart needs to be changed. It has to be converted before it can please God. Can't please God without being a good, honest, and pure heart. Has to be true, honest, good, pure. Well, that brings us to the question that we want to discuss primarily. How the Bible heart is changed. This Bible heart that's composed of the intellect, emotions, will, and conscience. All of these have to be changed. We can't be pleasing to God until we serve God with our whole heart. Our whole heart. Not just part of it, but the whole heart. So in regard to the intellect, how is the intellect changed? I suggest to you that the intellect is changed by evidence. Remember, the intellect is that part of the heart with which man thinks. Matthew 9, verse 4. Jesus knowing their thoughts, why I think ye evil in your hearts. That part of man which believes, Romans 10, verse 10. For with the heart man believes in righteousness. The part of man that reasons, Mark chapter 2, verse 8. When Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reason within themselves, he said to them, why reason ye these things in your heart? The heart is that part of man that enables him to reason and also to understand. Matthew chapter 13, there at verse 15. This people's heart is vice gross and ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they've closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. The intellect, the part of man that thinks, believes, reasons, understands. The intellect is changed from believing error to believing truth. Faith is produced in the heart through the evidence that is presented. That evidence, we obviously all know, is from Scripture. One occasion Jesus told the Jews, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. We have to go to Scripture, and Paul said all Scripture is given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in every good work. The Scriptures gives instructions We can read it. We can understand it. Paul said to the Ephesians, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning of verse 1, he said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved. Now listen. If you keep in memory a heart, our ability to think, reason, know, and understand, our mind, is where we keep in memory. And notice Paul said, if you keep in memory, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Then he goes on to talk about what he had preached to them. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain in the present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as the one born out of new time or new season. Now, what Paul does here is he presents to them testimony, indisputable testimony, in regard to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Jesus was indeed the Son of God. He presented them with evidence that they could not refute. That's what Peter did on Pentecost. This same Jesus whom you crucified had been made both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, when they heard what Peter had preached about Jesus, the one they crucified, they were cut to the heart. Their physical blood pump wasn't cut, but their mind was pricked. Their spiritual heart was pricked with the evidence that Peter had presented. Remember in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, there the text says, many of the signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples have not written this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through his name. Why do we have these things recorded? A lot of things Jesus did, they're not written here. Why are these recorded? This is a testimony. This is what we can read and we can understand and we can know. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. And so it takes testimony. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. There in that great chapter of faith, when it talks about those who had faith and what they did. Notice what he said in chapter 11, there at verse 6. But without faith, remember, it takes the word to produce faith. Romans 10, 17. For with the heart man believeth unrighteous. Paul said, we believe with the heart, and it takes the word to produce that faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We understand that faith is absolutely essential. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How can I believe? Well, I look at the evidence. I look at the testimony. In John chapter 6, there beginning in verse 44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. As is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. The only way an individual can come to God is through hearing and learning about Jesus Christ. We do that with our spiritual heart. with our intellect. We come to understand and know the intellect is changed by the evidence. When we study with someone, we have to present irrefutable evidence in regard to Jesus Christ and His plan for saving man. That involves the Lord's church. It involves the work and the worship of the Lord's church. All these things must be taught in such a way that people cannot refute. They can't answer back. You have to establish by Scripture so that they can understand and know. But that's not all of it. There's the emotions. They're involved in the Bible heart. The emotions are changed by God's love for man. Remember, with the emotions, one desires, Romans chapter 10, there at verse 1, Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. With the emotion of the heart, one loves. We read Matthew 22, verse 37. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Proverbs 3 and verse 5, we learn that we trust in our heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. Trust is part of the emotions. The heart then rejoices. In Acts 2 verse 26, therefore did my heart rejoice. My tongue was glad, moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. And you remember the Ethiopian. He went on his way rejoicing after he had been baptized. His emotions had been changed by the love of God. Our emotions are changed from a love for the world to a love for God. That takes place when we learn that while we were sinners, God loved us. Sent Jesus to die for us. Remember John 3 verse 16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 5 verse 8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's, remember how Paul phrased it? God commended His love toward us. When? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were in a state that we were unlovable, God loved us enough to send His Son to die, to take our place in death. He died on the cross so that we can live. We don't have to die spiritually. We're going to die physically. But we don't have to die spiritually. We can live with God forever because Christ died for us. And so when we learn what God did for us, it causes us to love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. Our emotions or our affections are changed and set upon things above, not on things on the earth. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, there at verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. I want you to observe that word set. That's a deliberate, conscious decision. It's not something that just happens on its own. It's something that you do. Loving God is something you decide to do. That involves will. It involves your intellect. You decide with your mind. Remember the evidence that's presented? When you learn about the love of God, it causes you to love Him supremely. To put your affection, your desires on things that are spiritual, and it's things above, not on things of the earth. That doesn't mean that there's some things on the earth that we don't like. A lot of things we like. And a lot of things, it's not wrong for us to like certain things. In fact, we're taught to love some things. We love our spouse. We love our children. But we don't love them more than we love God. Jesus said, he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And so, yes, there's some things that we like and some things that we love. We can have affection for certain things, but we have to put our affection primarily on things that are spiritual. Set your affection on things above. There's some things that are greater importance. You remember Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The things he's talking about are material things. If we put God first, then the other things will take care of themselves. But we set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Our emotions are changed by God's love for man. Then there's the matter of will. The will of man. This change of will is demonstrated by obedience. Remember, the will intends. As the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 4, verse 12, thoughts and intentions of the heart. Thoughts and intents of the heart. We notice 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, as one purposeth in his heart, so let him give. And in Exodus 35, there, verse 5, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing man, let him bring it. When they were making up the things necessary for the building of the tabernacle, whosoever was a willing man, and they brought so much that they had to turn it away. Moses had to tell them to quit giving. They were a willing man. They were ready and willing to do what needed to be done. We obey from the heart, Romans 6, 17 and 18. God be thanked, or as you were the servant of sin, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which would deliver you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Obeying from the heart. The will obeys. We make God's will our will. You remember the story about the man who had two sons? When he said, go work today in my vineyard. One said, I go, sir, but he went not. One said, I will not. But later he repented and he went. And Jesus asked the question, which of the two did the will of his father? And they said, it's obvious. One who went. The one who worked. He did. He obeyed. He changed his mind. He changed from doing his will to doing his Father's will. And so man obeys Christ. He is baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Remember? Acts 2, verse 38. When they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, all authority has been given to me both in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Well, that's Matthew's account, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Mark's account, Mark 16, 15, 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, there Paul said, you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. One obeys from the heart. Remember, Romans 6, verse 16 through 18. You obey from the heart. You obey the will of Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, this is just the beginning. When we obey from the heart, that form of doctrine, that form of teaching, we obey from the heart. We're then made free from sin. We become a part of the family of God. The children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. Galatians 3:26-27. We become a part of the body of Jesus Christ. This is the conversion process. Obviously, it doesn't end there. Revelation 2, verse 10, the text there says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life." As Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, there in verse 58 of chapter 15, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And so there's work that must be done. We must continue to do the will of our Father. But our heart has been changed because we believe the evidence. Our intellect has been changed. Our emotions have been changed. We now love God supremely with all our heart. Our will has been changed. We know that our will has been changed because we obey from the heart. For the heart to be changed, the intellect, the emotions, and the will all must be changed. We can't please God without all of these being changed. This passage we read earlier, 1 John chapter 3, there verse 20 and 21. "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." Our heart can either approve or disapprove what we do. That's our conscience. The conscience has to be educated. You remember what Paul said? "I've lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." What had Paul been doing before he was the Apostle Paul? He was Saul of Tarsus. What was he doing? He's persecuting Christians. He had gone to the chief priests and elders and desired letters to go to Damascus. And there to bind men and women who were of this way and bring them back to Jerusalem to be punished. He was consenting unto the death of Stephen. And he said, "I live in all good conscience before God unto this day." Saul of Tarsus had a good conscience. He said, "I very thought that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus." His conscience approved of what he was doing. And there's tens of millions of people all over this world this very day whose conscience is approving of what they're doing. Many of them are religious. Many of them are very religious. Many of your friends and neighbors are very religious. They're very dedicated. And their conscience approves of what they're doing religiously. But you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." We have to do His will. We have to be convinced by the evidence. And that evidence contained in the Bible. It's Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. "It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. then the man of God may be perfect. That means complete, thoroughly furnished in every good work. In order for us to be approved of God, our conscience has to be educated by His Word. We have to look at the evidence. We have to search the Scriptures. Remember, Paul said the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And the reason was they searched the Scriptures daily to see if the things taught were so. There's some things that are taught that are not so. They're not according to the will of God. But people believe them. And their conscience approves them. So our conscience has to be educated. As a result of all of these being changed, then the conscience will approve. When we change our intellect, our emotions, and our will, every part of our heart must be changed. You can't leave off any part of it. Heartfelt religion. Many change the intellect, that is what they believe, but they never obey. They never change their will. I've talked to a lot of people, and I'm sure you have too, that will say, yes, I believe there's a God, and I believe Jesus Christ is His Son, but they won't do what He says. They don't change their will. There are others who change their emotions. Now, I've seen, and I'm sure you have too, people who were very emotional in their religious practices. Their heart was very much touched. And so their heart was changed. They changed how they felt. And some of them have what they call a better felt than told religion. They'll put their hand over the heart and say, I wouldn't trade what I feel right here for a stack of Bibles this high. Their emotions have been changed. But they haven't changed their will. The will must be changed. Remember, faith changes the intellect. Love is changed. It changes our emotions. This results in obedience, which involves a change of will. And when all of this takes place, then the conscience will approve. It can continue then to be trained by the Word of God, and it will continue to approve our behavior, and our behavior that is regulated by God's Word, and it will condemn everything else. We cannot just let our conscience be our guide. That's not scriptural. There are people who teach that. Just let your conscience be your guide. Well, if Saul of Tarsus had done that, he'd have wound up in the devil's hell. No, I can't let my conscience be my guide, but my conscience should approve of what I do. But in order for it to approve of what I do and I be in God's approval, it has to be educated by the Word of God. When it's educated, when it looks at the testimony, it looks at the evidence, and it changes our heart, our will, we obey God, then our conscience will approve of what we do because it's in harmony with the will of God. The whole heart must be changed. It has to be converted. And until that happens, the person hasn't really been converted to the Lord. Conversion process involves the whole heart. The intellect, the emotion, the will. and the conscience. If it doesn't change all of them, then there's a part of our heart that hasn't been changed. I was thinking about this earlier. From a physical standpoint, we can live and live a fairly normal life with part of our heart not working. My wife is a living testimony to that. Front part of her heart doesn't work. But she still is able to maintain a fairly normal lifestyle. But that doesn't work in the spiritual realm. We need to think about that. Our whole heart needs to be given over to the Lord, not just part of it. If we don't give Him our whole heart, we can't be pleasing to Him. We can't be the kind of person that we ought to be. We can't expect to have the home in heaven unless we give Him our whole heart. And the question that I leave with you this morning: have you had a real heart change? In our society today, we have the ability, medical science has the ability to change your physical heart. They told Dottie when they first diagnosed her that her only option was a heart transplant. But they said she wasn't there yet. And hopefully she's not going to get to that point. But we can have a heart transplant spiritually. We can be given a new heart. But it takes action on our part. It takes a willingness to allow the testimony of God's Word to come into our heart, to change our will, to cause us to love God supremely with our whole heart. Have you had a real change of heart? Until you have, you can't be pleasing to God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Do you love God supremely? That's the only way you can be His child, is to have a new heart, spiritual heart. You can obtain that today. If you're not a child of God, if you haven't given Him your whole heart, you can do that. If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're willing to confess that faith in Christ, having repented of your sin, you can be immersed in water for the remission of your sin. The Lord then will add you to His church, just like He did those on the day of Pentecost. You can be His child, part of His body, the church. If you have in the past been obedient to the gospel, but at some point in time you ceased serving Him, you allowed your will to be changed from doing His will to doing your will, you can return to Him today if you repent. If you change your mind, change from doing your own will to doing the Father's will, set your affection on things above. In order to do that, you had to repent. Turn away from the things that you've been doing and set your affection on things above. If you're willing to repent of your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing for your encouragement.